combination of confession and prayer. So I tried to teach us what is the difference, what is the bridge between confession and prayer. And we're going to continue this morning because this subject is extremely important. If you don't understand that in the early days of the church, Christianity was called the Great Confession, you will understand that it's the foundation of our faith. Which means there's no such thing as a victorious non-speaking Christian. In order for you to be victorious, you must speak. For the just shall live by faith. And there is no faith without speaking. The Bible says we have in the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So if we believe, one of the proofs of our belief is that we speak God's word consistently. Now, someone will ask, what is the correlation between declaring God's word and prayer? If I have declared God's word, do I need to pray? Yes, we still need to pray. Prayer has its place. Declaration of God's word has its place. When we declare God's word, we are affirming what we have come to embrace as truths in God's word. When you affirm what you have come to embrace as a living truth in God's word, for instance, the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There is nothing that man can do unto me. Now the Bible says, he has said, so we may boldly say. So we don't have boldness to say until we know what he has said. We learn what to say from what God has said, then we can be bold in our declarations. A lot of times, the things we're not bold to say, we're not bold to pray about. So confession actually energizes our prayer. What I am not bold to say, I'm not bold to pray about. What I am bold to say, I'm confident in the place of prayer, I will receive answers to. Very important. So when we join our confession to prayer, if you are a believer and you wake up every morning, there are certain things you need to declare concerning God's word. So your first responsibility is you must have God's word abiding in you. If you abide in me, and my words, not word. Which means not just one verse of scripture. Your words abide. My words abide in you. You will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So it is God's word abiding in you that's meant to come out of your mouth concerning situations of life. Before any situation ever arises, you must have your lifestyle of declaring God's word on a regular basis. It must become your lifestyle. Very important. 2 weeks back, we saw the story of David. We saw what David said to King Saul before he faced Goliath. We saw what David said to Goliath. It was obvious David was a man who had heard things from God when he was fellowshipping with God. This was the same David that said in Psalm 18, by my God, I run through truth. By my God, I leap over walls. The one who said in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be what? Afraid. When my enemies, my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. This was the situation, or this was the state of David's heart when he faced Goliath. So before the battle began, he was already won. It was a function of identity. Confession makes us conscious of our identity in Christ. You are not a nobody, you are a covenant child of a living God. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are the one Isaiah prophesied about, that there is no weapon that is formed or fashioned against you that will prosper. You are the one he's talking about. But after God has said it, you need to say it into your own hearing. If you don't have a culture of saying it, you won't enjoy the manifestation of it. That's what our problem is. For the first few years of my Christian walk, I was weak. I suffered many defeats. Blessings were occasional. The promise of God were a mirage. Though I walked in the valley of shadow of death, I feared every evil. The rod and the staff, I couldn't even see them, nothing less of them comforting me. I didn't know what they were. What was the problem? Has God changed? No. I failed to see from the first verse that the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't leave his assignment. It's the sheep that leave. When the sheep submit, the shepherd always leads. Hallelujah. That's why you hear me saying things like, I can never be confused. I may feel confusion. The feeling and the reality are two different things. For the Spirit of God abides in me, and he teaches me all things. So if you don't learn to say to yourself, you don't walk in the reality of it. Confession is a bold declaration that what God has said about you is true. So it's not enough to just get born again. After you are born again, you need to live and experience the victory that God has purchased for you in Christ Jesus. You are the redeemed from destruction, from calamity, from oppression, from affliction. You are the redeemed from sickness and disease. You must say to yourself consistently, you must say, Pastor, what if I am sick? All the better. For you have to give light to that sickness and give the truth of God's word a place in your life. Hallelujah. How we experience the goodness of God is that we must keep his goodness consistently upon our lips. You must learn how to say who you are on a consistent basis. There's something about man and our ability to forget very quickly what God has said about us. We are quicker to embrace what people have said about us. One more time, there, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. This is not where we're going this morning, but I just need us to. It bears repetition. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, which we always quote. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. What does it say? By now you should be able to say it by heart. What does it say? For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. So God is thinking. God has thoughts in his heart towards you, towards me. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and of evil, to give you a hope and what? A future or an expected end. So God has things he's thinking towards us. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says that as he thinketh in his heart, so is what? He. So God thinks, man thinks. Where did they meet? The day I start thinking God's thoughts, I become God's thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is what? So is he. So the way I change my experiences is to change what I'm thinking. The way I change what I'm thinking is to accept the thoughts of God. When I accept God's thoughts and what God is thinking because of what I'm thinking, it becomes my experience. That's the principle of confession. In confession, we embrace what God is thinking. We start thinking and start saying it. It affects our experiences. It's difficult to minister blessings and prosperity to an afflicted man. A man who is afflicted in his consciousness, first of all, has to overcome the affliction in his consciousness before the affliction in his life will leave. Affliction in a man's life, more often than not, is a reflection of the state of that man's soul. If the soul has not been delivered, the man cannot be truly delivered. Listen, if a man has a measure in his heart, I've taught this before, if the measure he has in his heart is 100,000, if you give him 1,000,000, he will mysteriously lose 900,000 until he makes 100,000. So the problem of the man is not money. If you give money to someone who is poor in his soul, the money will disappear mysteriously. He will use it for foolishness. He will keep making foolish decisions until he gets to the amount he's comfortable to. Then now his mind will now become sane. Hallelujah. So sometimes people say, if I can just get somebody that will give me 5 million. No, if you have not prospered in your soul to the realm of 5 million, 5 million will frittle away in your hands. You'll be able to account on you. You make stupid decisions. What's the problem? The Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the issue is this. There are images in our soul. There are pictures in our mind that have been there for a long time that we need to change and to expand. That's what the Bible says. It's only a fool that prosperity destroys. The prosperity of fools will destroy because he's not wise. Where does wisdom come from? The wisdom has to enter his soul. He has to be able to administer wealth at that level. So if I can't handle wealth at a particular level, no matter how much you give me, because my soul has not prospered to that state, I will not be able to handle finances well. That's the issue. We see a lot of big people in the news, Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, and people like that. Do you know if you go into the lobby of an hotel and you sit with them, you'll be dumbfounded, most of us. You will want to say a million things and nothing will come out of your mouth. What's the issue? The condition of your soul, you are not in your comfort zone. It will show. If you get before people that are important, except in your mind, you've graduated to that point. When you see them, even if they stretch their hands and you want to say good money, suddenly good money will be very difficult to say. You forget how to put good and money together. You may say money good. What's the problem? Your mind is, in fact, there's so much noise on inside. Because you are thinking, this is Clinton in the flesh. Is it in the spirit? Is it in dream? Is it... What's the issue? Your soul is not accustomed to that level of opulence. So what happens is God has given us his word to enrich, first of all, our souls so that our spirits can learn how to teach and instruct us in the ways of God. So if you're not busy on a daily basis declaring God's word to yourself, it's not the day of challenge that you pray a miracle prayer, oh God, deliver me. It must be your conscious, constant thought, pattern of life that he will never leave me, nor what? Forsake me. That no evil will befall me, neither will any plague come near me. I don't enter into vehicles and think of accident. He says you will be far from oppression. and from terror. It will not come near you. It has become my consciousness. It's my daily confession. This is where labor is. This is where laboring God's word is. It's more difficult than praying. Ask believers to come for 5 hours night vigil. They come. Listen to what they will say in the morning. You'll be shocked. But to discipline your tongue, to say only what God has said about you, is where the real labor of faith, that's where the real work is. And we must learn to live that way. We must learn to speak that way. It doesn't matter what is happening in our environment. We must understand that it is this principle that God has given to us to hand us what? Over into the supernatural blessing that God has planned for us. So check out the last experience you had. When was the last time you had supernatural experiences on a consistent basis? For the Bible says it daily loads us with what? Benefits. If it's a daily thing, it means that there's one for every day. So the one you received last week is already stale. There's one for today, there's one for tomorrow. How do you receive it? With my mouth will I make known his faithfulness. Hallelujah. With my what? Mouth. You must put it upon your tongue, upon your lips. It must become a lifestyle, something that even if you don't speak in a particular day, your spirit will remind your soul that you have not done what you ought to do today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? But who forgiveth all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. It's like you are being brainwashed, only in a good way. You are bathing yourself in the river of God's word, so that your thinking is straight and not like the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. So our experiences are different. It is natural for us to experience promotion. Hallelujah. According to what God is thinking, it is natural. For my part, like a shining light, it shines brighter. I'm brighter to what? A perfect day. I'm not stagnant in life. There's a force behind me. It is God who is at work in me, not the devil. It is God who is at work in me, both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. We said something last week about praying in the spirit. Why are we talking about, why do we talk about praying? So I just want to tie it up and then move on to the thought that we have for today. I mean, remember what we said last week about praying in the spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse, look at verse 6. Verse 7, please. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 2, 7. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Notice talks about hidden wisdom. It talks about mystery. It talks about something that God has ordained before the world unto our glory. Before the world simply means before the world came into existence, there are things that God has planned and prepared for every child of God. So every one of us who are my inheritance in the Father, there are things he has prepared before the world started. God prepared it. He kept it in mystery form. Now, in Christ Jesus, he released that mystery unto us. He says, we speak this wisdom, and it is God's wisdom, or God's way of getting results. God has a way of getting results. The word has a way of getting results. God has prepared the way he gets results for his children. So he says, we speak that wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, it is hidden for us. It is hidden from the world. Let me say that again. God's wisdom is hidden for us, then it is hidden from the world. So when you hear the word mystery, a mystery is not something that is not known. A mystery is something that is unknown to many, but known to some. A mystery is something that requires initiation for you to get into. How do you get initiated into the mysteries of God? Be born again. So now that you're born again, you have been initiated into God's circle. And in that circle, God shares mysteries with his children. They are mysteries at first, but they don't remain a mystery to us. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God prepared before the world for our glory. So here's what God has done. God has prepared certain things for us that through our participation in those things will bring out certain events in our lives on the earth. How do we start out? It says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2, which most of us know. Bible says, he that speaketh in our own tongue, speaketh not to men but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. So the mystery is talking about there, it's talking about praying in an unknown tongue. That when I'm praying in tongues, it's a mystery to me at first. Mysteries to those who are around me, but it's not meant to remain a mystery. For we don't know what we ought to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. So here's what happens. 2014 is around the corner. There is a general thing for 2014, manifestations of God's goodness. Because God has already said that it will be a year of manifestations of his goodness, my portion in that year, the experiences I'm meant to have, the supernatural incidents I'm meant to connect to, are things that are there in the realm of the spirit. They are not known to my understanding. The plan of God is that I will spend time praying out what those things are. Those things are already in me now. Look at that 1 Corinthians 2 again. Look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into what? The things which God has what? Do you see the connection between what God has ordained and what God has what? Prepared. So God has prepared some things. Bible says, I have not seen those things. Ears have not heard them. So they are not things that naturally occur to man, what God has prepared. Why? They are God's wisdom and they are hidden in mystery form. Look at the next verse. But God, hallelujah. Every time you see a but in scripture, you need to pause and see what it's saying. There's a but there. He has said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. He's now introducing a but. That when I say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, I'm not really talking about you. Did you see that? Is that in your Bible? Look at it again. As it is written in verse 9, I had not seen nor yet heard, neither have we entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his. So the us in verse 10 is not the same as the one in verse 9. To the natural man, eyes have not seen nor yet heard. He hasn't entered their hearts, but unto us, God has revealed them to us by his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now let me say something. In the King James, because of the translators, they made a major error. The word spirit there is also capitalized, but it's not supposed to be. Let me explain. Let's read it and I'll come back to it. I'll show you what it means. Verse 11, for one man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Do you see that? Verse 11 again, for one man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, or in like manner, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. So it shows us the principle that teaches us what to expect in verse 10. In verse 11, it says that, what man knoweth the things of God, the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, except the spirit of God. So he says, everything that pertains to you, your spirit knows it. In the same way that everything that pertains to God, God's spirit what? Knows it. So when he says in verse 10, that God has revealed them to us by his spirit, but the spirit searcheth, the spirit of God can't search the things of God. The spirit of God already knows the things of, are we together? So which spirit is searching there? Your spirit and my spirit. So a small s. My spirit can search out the things of God. The spirit of God doesn't search out the things of God. For the spirit of God already knows the things of God. My spirit doesn't search out my things. Because my spirit already knows my things. But when it comes to the things of God, God has revealed them to me by his spirit. So my spirit begins to search. When I'm praying in tongues, my spirit is searching. It's like Google. My spirit is Googling information. Events that God has prepared for me for this season, they are in mystery form. They have been prepared already. I connect with it. My tongue speaks it out. And those events are released on the surface of the earth. Look at the next thing it says. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might. Do you see that knowing there? Now, brothers and sisters, please pay attention. The number of times the scriptures in the New Testament use the word know concerning a Christian is so much, it should leave you in no doubt that God wants you to know. If God says my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Then God doesn't want you to be ignorant. God who says my people are destroyed and is the one who delivers them from destruction cannot want you to remain ignorant. He has done everything possible to make knowledge available to you and to me. Why is it still a mystery? We are not following the principles of God. When we follow the principle of God, what was once a mystery becomes knowledge. It says God has given those things to us. We have received the Spirit of God that we might know. That we might know. God wants us to know the things that he has freely given to us. So there are things freely given to me in 2014. There is a job. There are contracts. There are appointments. There are divine orchestrations. There are people I will meet. It is freely given. To be freely given means that it's not in the realm of struggle. It's part of God's plan. I will meet this person effortlessly. My part is to pray it out. When I pray that, what am I doing? I am cooperating with God. That's what I'm doing. I'm cooperating with God. So God uses my mouth to pray out the things he has prepared and planned for me. He has given me his spirit so that I can know the things that are freely what? Given to me. Look at the next verse now. It says something interesting. It says, which things, verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with what? Spiritual. What does that mean? Very simple terms. We just spoke about the fact that when we are praying out God's mysteries, we are praying in tongues, isn't it? It says, it is with words which the Holy Ghost teaches. So the words that will come forth, first of all in tongues, are words which we are given as we are inspired by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say something, and I want you to just think about it. You must learn how to declare God's word and bring the Spirit to a point where you start hearing yourself say things. Let me say that again. Your Christian experience in God will not be rich, and your fellowship will not be strong until you have confessed God's word and prayed in the Spirit to a point where you hear yourself say things. What do I mean by things? There are things that are freely given to you in God, in Christ. There are events that are yet to happen. They may be in mystery form to start with. They are not meant to remain a mystery. As you continue speaking, you will find yourself saying certain things. It may be strange to your understanding, but it's not words which man's wisdom speaks. It's words which the Holy Ghost what teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with what? Spiritual. If you are not familiar with that realm of operation, when the Holy Ghost is speaking through you, you will reject it. I told you the other day, do you think it was easy for Isaiah to prophesy and the virgin shall give birth? I mean, if you were Isaiah, will you say it? Will you say it? At the risk of being ostracized from the society. Isaiah was also a court prophet. He was somebody who was in the court. You know, it's not every prophet that goes to court. He was in the court palace of kings. You know what it means? For the courtiers to despise you, a virgin shall give birth. I mean, even in those days, they knew medically, bros, Isaiah, virgins don't give birth. But it was the Spirit of God that told him to say it. And Isaiah had to say it. And it's by speaking out things like that you enter into the reality of God's blessings. So when you first say it, you were praying the Spirit. You suddenly saw a house. You saw yourself in a sitting room. And you were putting off the television, and you saw it was flat screen. And right now, where you are staying, what do they call it now? Where you are staying is a far cry from that. But you saw it. You now say, what does this mean? It means blessing. You saw that when you opened the door, the compound was filled with three cars. And the only car you have now is foot wagon. You don't know that's a blessing. What does God want to say? You are seeing what you should be seeing. So if you have been saying before, and your calculation before, your calculation must change because your speaking must change so that your thinking will change. Because it takes a different speaking, a different thinking, a different calculation for what God is showing you to be so. It can't come until something changes inside you. Listen, that which God has spoken becomes a reality within before it becomes a manifestation without. That's the way it works. If I'm not rich on the inside, I don't accidentally become rich on the outside. There is a prosperity of the soul through God's word. So even when I'm praying, there are things God wants to show me. There is enough supply in the Father's house to make every one of us super comfortable. There's enough. Hallelujah. So, in case you are thinking, if I ask God for 1 million, won't God say I'm greedy? No, God will say you are foolish. Because 1 million cannot bankrupt the Father's. It can't. You have set your target too low. What is the issue? You have not yet received enough of God's word to affect your thinking and to affect your speech. So, if there are words which the Holy Ghost will give, one of the ways the Holy Ghost manifests is that I see things so that I can know what to say. So, the more I see, the more I am able to what? To say. That's the way it works. So when I'm praying in the Spirit, God will show me things. How did we get to this place? We're in a place, and we had plans to move out of the place. And we're speaking forth in the Spirit one day. And this is what God says, have 21 days of praise. And the church will move. And before we move, like a year before, we have been seeing visions of a place like this. What was God trying to say? This is the next phase. How does God bring the next phase to you? God comes to advertise to you when you don't have, so you can have. Did you hear what I said? God comes to advertise to you when you don't have it, so you can what? Have it. When he advertises, you're cooperating with God is to now say boldly. That's why if you are here and you cannot confidently say, I'm a new car owner, you have work to do on your soul. Because the car, if they give it to you, you will sell it. Yeah, and I told you the story of one of my brothers in Christ who was in church. I mean, he worked in a good company, earning a good pay. He's in the UK now. He told me. And he was like, Pastor, I was ashamed. You know, I thought I was a big boy. Listen, big is in levels. Say I was on the Highland. I just wanted to visit one of these car mats. I just went there. So I just saw the latest Camry. I think at that time it was about 2011 or so. 2009. When did he leave, Pastor Tolu? He left 2001. Is it 10 or something else? It was the latest one. He said, "Say, you know, some of this Igbo car, I apologize to my Igbo brothers. Igbo are blessed, amen." Now, yes, so this guy was just full of, you know, he was just rapping him. That bros enter. He said, when they were about to open the door, they did not open the door with hand. It was what we key. The key did not touch the door. Then he said, when they were about to start the car, the man said, Oga, he pressed a few buttons. He said, Oga, speak to the car. He said, what did you say? He said, speak to the car. He spoke, the engine came on. The man said, go inside. He said, I'm not going inside. He said, no, bros, enter. Just drive somewhere. He said, no. He said, Oga, if you enter this car today, you'll come and pay tomorrow. Just enter. Just enter this guy. He said, no. He said he was so intimidated. What is this? There are levels of opulence. How does your mind fine-tune or adjust? It takes God's word to have that dimension of prosperity and not go astray. Car is a thing. Eternal life you carry is more valuable. Hallelujah. No. It's not if they bring you in the best car. Still come down and greet people. It shows your soul is prosperous. The car is not you. What you carry is more valuable. The car can be changed. You will remain permanent. It's the prosperity of the soul. How does it come? It's God's word. It must be abiding. You are not hoping promotion will happen by accident. You know. It doesn't come from the south. It doesn't come from the west. It doesn't come from the east. Where does it come from? From the Lord. And you belong to him. And he belongs to you. And he lives in you. So you are sure. God has a plan of promotion, so you are able to speak it. You are not hoping you will have children. You don't understand. There's a commandment of fruitfulness upon your life that you carry now. Right now. You are not hoping to be wealthy. For your sakes, it became poor. That you too is poverty. You may become what? And so if you are not rich, you are even depriving Christ of his sacrifice. So you are making up your mind. Even if not because of the good houses, I must be rich to prove that Jesus died. Your confession will change. It's not even about my, I must make sure that the sacrifice of Jesus was not for nothing. That on the basis of this, I must walk in divine health. It's compulsory. I must walk in divine health. Jesus paid for this thing. It must be my present tense experience. So even though attacks will come upon our body because our bodies are not saved, but you are going to stand your ground in your soul and in your spirit. I'm going to say exactly what God has said. So you are not standing from a position of weakness. You are saying on the authority of this. That's why, brothers and sisters, sometimes you get violent. When I say violent, you carry the word and you read it to yourself. You know what is there, but you want to hear it over and over again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, himself took my families and bore my sicknesses. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed 2,000 years ago and I'm healed now. And I refuse to harbor sickness or disease in my body. Every follicle of my being, every tissue, every cell in my body, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be vitalized. What are you doing? You are standing upon what is sure. It is more sure than a doctor's report. Doctor's reports change. This thing abides forever. It will still be here after heaven and earth has passed away. So you must know that you are standing upon solid ground. So this is not magic. This is not gimmick. This is not positive speech. No, this is life. We have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believe, therefore, have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we what? We speak. You must be speaking daily, not occasionally. That's why manifestations are sometimes far and few. Few and far between. Because we don't speak consistently. When we feel good, we speak. When we feel bad, we keep quiet. But you want things to happen. It doesn't happen that way. It must be something that you are wired to do. I can't be confused. I'm led by the Spirit of God. For the wisdom of God is at work in me. I have the mind of Christ. He hasn't given me spirit of fear, but of power of love. I have a sound mind. What are you doing? You are declaring regularly, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not want for direction. I know what to do and I know how to do it. I know where to go and I know how to get there. I'm led by the Spirit of God. What are you doing? You are declaring what God has already said about you. You are a new creation. You are his workmanship. God's workmanship is blameless, is faultless. How do we achieve that status? It must become a lifestyle. So if you're still thinking it is psych, you are far from results. Hallelujah. This is the truth of God's word. This is a living reality. You are too blessed to be cursed. Amen. Hallelujah. You are too blessed to be cursed. Our time is fast spent. I need to round up soon. Mark chapter 4 now. I'll tidy up this thought next week. So let's just start in and then we'll go on next week. Mark chapter 4. Another reason why confession works. Mark chapter 4. Somebody says you have not thought about faith, except you have thought for Mark 11 and Mark 4. You have not really thought about faith. Are you there? From verse 21. I'm sorry I'm jumping into the middle of a thought, but just bear with me. Mark chapter 4, from verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be what? Manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but I should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Jump with me to verse 26. Look at verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should what? Cast it into where? And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth food forth of herself, first the blade, then the hair, after that the full corn in the ear. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 21 again. He said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Let me just say one or two things so you catch up with us. When Jesus is teaching, Jesus uses parables mainly as an instrument for teaching. So when Jesus is talking about candle here, he's using natural illustrations to explain the spiritual truth. When he says, is a candle made to be hidden, is it not, or to be kept under a bed or a bushel, is it not to be kept on a candlestick? The candle he's talking about here is the human spirit. For the spirit of man is the candle of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts. So here's what he's saying. The spirit of man wasn't designed by God to be in obscurity. The spirit of man was designed by God to be the first thing you will see about that man. That's the new creation. So, let's go now. Look at the next thing he says. He says, for there is nothing hidden, that's verse 22, which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret that it should not what? Come abroad. You cannot take that verse of scripture from the passage and make it say what it's not saying. What is this Jesus teaching about? He's teaching about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is as though a man should cast seed where? Into the ground. He's just told us about the fact that the sower soweth the word. He told us that the seed is the word. He told us that the soil is the heart of man. So here's what he's saying. When he says there's nothing hidden that shall not be manifested, nothing that's kept secret that will not be revealed, here's what he's saying. He's not saying that whatever men do, it will become exposed. No. Brothers and sisters, there are many things men have done in secret. Till today, we don't know. You know, the political cabal that's in Nigeria, of which I will all belong to, there are some things they did. Nobody knows. They've not said anything. If that generation dies, nobody will know fully. We know in part. The ones that we have revealed. So that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus cannot jump out of a passage and say something else. If you are reading in context, it's called contextual interpretation. What is he saying? He's talking about the sower sowing seed. And he now says there's nothing that is hid that will not be what? Manifested. Look at that verse 23 again. Verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be what? Manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should what? Come abroad. Please listen attentively to what I'm about to say. A fundamental principle in the kingdom is this. If you want God to promote you, whatever you're doing, don't do it for people to see. Do it for God to see. For your Father that seeth in secret will reward you where? God doesn't reward secretly. When you do whatever you're doing openly, God will reward you secretly. When you practice it secretly, God will reward you where? So if I'm praying for my brethren, the day will come. God is the Lord of promotion. He knows when the time is. No, though you are not telling pastor you are praying for pastor. You are not telling brethren you are praying for them. You are not talking to leaders and praying for church progress. But that's what you are doing in secret. You don't come to church to come and say it. But that's what you are doing. The time will come. He that sees in secret will reward you where? In the open. So some things will work for you. People say, how come yours is moving like this? It's the Lord of the harvest. He is rewarding you where? In the open. It's a fundamental Christian principle. Now, listen, this is what Jesus said. He's talking about the sower sowing seed. So here's what he's saying. He says, there's nothing hid but that it should be made manifest. If in the privacy of my house, in my closet, or in the private space where I pray, I spend time putting God's word on the inside, what I am doing is I'm hiding it. God now says, if I want anything to be manifest, I should hide it first. Did you hear that? If I want it to be manifest, I should first hide it. So, I want to be prosperous according to God's word. I don't go outside and make shakara. I stay in my closet and hide the seed of prosperity inside of me. For there is nothing hid but that it should be made what? When I begin to prosper, everybody sees it. It is the best way in this world to get results. I've told you before about one of us here, when I thought about the principle where, you see, when God is the one elevating you, so to speak, you are climbing the corporate ladder, but not by natural help. So even if somebody was instrumental in assisting you, which is God used the person, and the person forgets that it is just a vessel, and they remove the ladder, you are still there, not coming down. There's another ladder there holding you up. Do you understand? That's what happened to Daniel. They made a major mistake. I've never forgotten that experience with Daniel. You are one of three vice presidents. The other three are jealous of you. You are four. While the king was thinking of making you the chief among the four, the other three went to go and plot. And Daniel knew they were plotting. And he was the king's favorite. And he didn't go to the king. He knew there was a king. I was higher than that king. And Daniel went to that king. What was Daniel doing? Three times a day, he would kneel down to pray. In private, they came to spy and discovered it. But you know, the God that sees in secret, where does he reward? So the dead lions came. They couldn't eat Daniel. There was another lion inside Daniel. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Daniel was used to his presence. He prayed three times daily. Bible says, after the decree was made, Daniel went to pray as usual. You know what that means? It was not a threat. So if there is movement in your office, and there will be movements. You know what I'm talking about? When there's movement, suspicious movement, don't go blabbing your mouth. For he that believeth shall not make haste. That's not the time to. Daniel continued. That's a strange man. Who knows what he has in God? So when he was put lying on there, something unusual happened. When you go and see Daniel when he's praying, who is praying to you can't see. But when they put him in lion's den, who is praying showed up to pray it up. Can you see? He rewards where? In the open when you are doing things how? Secretly. That's what God does. So if you are not doing anything secret, if everything you do is open, there's a problem. Because anything, the reward that you receive now, it will also be in secret. We won't know. We won't see any appreciable progress. Because God is saying if you spend time hiding his word on your inside, what are you doing? That which you are hiding, giving time, will soon become what? Manifest. That's what the scripture is teaching. It should become manifest. For the kingdom of God is as though a man should cast seed into the ground and should go and sleep and should rise another day and the seed should spring forth. He knoweth not what? How? So once you have planted the seed and your soul has been structured in the reality of God's word, events will come up. Even you will not be able to explain how. You will meet people that others are struggling to get across to. You will step into places people will pay large sums to get there. I'm going to say, how are you doing it? You two will say, I know not how. That the seed should spring forth and grow. All he does is goes to bed, he rises up. How is happening, he cannot what? Explain. If people can explain everything about your life, something is not right. There should be a factor about you that is difficult to explain. Your progression is not natural. Your own 2 plus 2 is not 4. It's 22. What is happening? There is that spiritual factor that makes a difference in your experiences. So even if the axe is falling, when it gets to your own tree, it will pass you by. Why? There are things you are doing in secret. You have eaten the word on the inside. When it begins to manifest, it doesn't manifest in secret. It manifests where everybody can what? See. That's even when we discover what you have been hiding inside your heart. So, supernatural protection from accidents are not accidental. What you've been acknowledging will lead you out. I told you about a lady, a fellow minister. She said she sat. When you have been saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not want for direction. The Lord is my shepherd, I follow the voice of the shepherd. The voice of a stranger, I will not follow. What have you been saying? That he is your present tense shepherd. He always leads you. She said she entered the bus. As she sat down on this, I said, get down. Some people can't even hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Why? They don't spend enough time to recognize. Not that he's not speaking, it's that they can't hear. He's mixed up in the noise of the environment. And his voice will be so distinct that you know instinctively, this is God. The Spirit of God says, get down. You know what it means now? If you're too much in the flesh, it's difficult to follow him. You know what I mean? The bus she entered, she was going from Lagos to Ibadan. The bus she entered, she was the last person to enter the bus. So the bus behind was empty. You tell yourself, no, no. To go leave full bus and enter every bus. Satan, get thee behind me. That's what you say. You say, how can I leave a full bus to go and enter every bus? But the Spirit of God says, get down. And she got down. I obeyed. I went to the next bus. And by the time the other bus was taken off, by the time they were going on the road, he saw this other bus. Had an accident. The only person that died was the person sitting where she was supposed to sit. The only person. Because some of you will ask questions. So-and-so was a Christian. We didn't even know what happened. What happened was that God led him. He didn't listen. God will never fail. God will always lead us. Whether we listen to the leading or not is a different matter. When you are sensitive, how do you get sensitive? You pray constantly. You declare God's word constantly. Until God's voice is more real than the voice of strangers. It has to be a lifestyle. He will not fail to lead us. That's God's word. He will not fail to lead. I've told many times, there are different times. Even a place I've planned and prepared to go, if I want to get my car key and I feel a reluctance, I stop. That's how to live long. With long life, it will satisfy you. And show you what? Nothing is cast in concrete. Only salvation is cast in concrete. I don't have to go to that appointment. I don't have to go to that party. I don't have to attend that reception. I'm a child of God. I'm not led by events. I'm led by the Spirit of God. You need to understand that if you're going to walk with God. God doesn't change. So don't be so committed to an event. You forsake your own mercy. Don't. Stay alert in this season. There are opportunities that will come your way. People you are meant to see are meant to meet. If you meet them, a major manifestation of God's plan will come to pass without much praying. The way God has prepared it. I can give us testimonies of different people and things that happened to them. Just a small thought. They responded, they yielded, they met a particular person, and that was it. Hallelujah. If you are constantly confessing all days of your life, goodness and mercy, they follow me. All the days of my, they follow me. So wherever I go, I am the first to experience goodness and what? Mercy. I just expect to be favored. It's very difficult at the embassy. They always refuse to know, not me. I have been accepted in the beloved. I have access to the courts of God. So in the courts of men, I'm well received. That's confession. That's the declaration of God's word. I'm not among those that are rejected. I am accepted. Wherever I go, I am well received. What are you doing? You are putting God's word and you are enabling your father to work, because what you're saying and what he has said are the same. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands this morning and thank him. I want you to make up your mind one more time that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this season, you are going to put God's word to work upon your lips. You are going to have a ready declaration of faith. You won't oscillate between two opinions. You will stick with the opinion of God's word. That truth will be your shield and your buckler. The Bible says, surely he delivers you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. Thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flieth by day, nor the terror by night. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the sword that wastes at noonday. 8,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 by your right hand, but they shall not come near. Only with your eyes will you see and behold the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is the Most High, your refuge and your reputation. There shall no evil befall you, neither will any plague come near your dwelling place. For he will give his angels charge over you. They will bear you up in their hands. You won't touch your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the serpents and the adder. And the young lion and dragon will you trample under your feet. Because you have set your love upon me. Therefore will he honor you and deliver you. He will set you on high because you have known his name. With long life he will satisfy you. 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 And show you his salvation. His salvation is yours to enjoy this season. Be very bold and say, I enjoy the salvation of God. I enjoy the provisions of my Father. I enjoy the abundance of heaven. In this season, the supernatural is my heritage. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage of the Lord. Everywhere I turn, I see favor. Everywhere I turn, I see his goodness. I expect promotion. I expect good things. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He comes from the Father of life, whom there's no reverence, there's no shadow of turning. I express the goodness of God in my life every single day. For goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I express his faithfulness in all my works, in all my ways. I express the goodness of God continually. For the hand of Jehovah is strong upon me. His goodness is seen in my life. Lift up your hand one more time and bless him. He alone is worthy. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for this is our season. We take hold of your word. We walk in the reality of the expense you have prepared for us. We declare that the hand of God is strong upon us. And in this season, we make supernatural progress. We make supernatural progress. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. Now this morning, one of us, please, Mr. Demi, please come forward. Mrs. Inikle, please come forward.